When a loved one goes home to be with the Lord, it's often a time of great confusion as well as grief. What needs to be done and when? I am Rob West. Simply making funeral arrangements can be difficult enough, but then there's an estate to settle, and many find themselves unprepared. Today, I'll give you the 6 financial steps to take when a loved one dies. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, before we get to the financial steps you should take when a spouse or other loved one passes, there's a very important spiritual step to take: prayer. You should invite God to be a part of all your financial affairs and decisions, but especially now as you begin the process of settling your loved one's estate. It's enough simply to pray for wisdom in this challenging time. James 1:5 teaches, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." Romans 8:28 reveals just how much the Lord wants to guide and strengthen you. It reads, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." After a time of prayer, you'll feel more confident and ready to take on the challenge of settling your loved one's estate. So here are the 6 steps you'll need to take. First, get a copy of the death certificate. This is the legal record of your loved one's death. It's usually prepared by a medical examiner and provided to you by the funeral home you're using for the burial. You may also obtain a copy at your county vital records office. It may take a few weeks to obtain the death certificate. If you haven't received one in that time, contact the funeral home or records office to check on it. You really need a copy of the death certificate to begin the other steps in this process, and it's especially important if you are the executor of the estate, because most of the actions you'll take require a copy of the death certificate. Okay, now that you have that document, you can take it and a copy of the will down to your county probate office and file a petition to begin the probate process. If you're the executor, you can then begin carrying out the deceased's last wishes as specified in the will. Ah, but what if there is no will? Well, then things get a bit more complicated. You'll still take the death certificate to probate court and petition the court to begin the probate process. You can also request to be named administrator of the estate, but there's no guarantee the court will honor that request. The probate court will then decide, according to state law, how the deceased's estate will be divided up among the heirs. Things may get complicated at that point, and you may want to have an estate attorney help you through the process of distributing the assets. We recommend getting someone with the CKA designation, and you can go to faithfi.com and just click Find a CKA. Now, in step 3, you begin notifying the deceased's financial institutions and advisors, if any. If your loved one had a financial advisor, that person can be a huge help in determining what assets are involved. You can also check the current balances when you notify financial institutions of your loved one's death. Here's where you may discover that some assets can pass directly to beneficiaries without going through probate. Check with administrators of retirement and standard brokerage accounts for transfer on death or TOD instructions. For banks, check for payable on death or POD instructions. You'll probably have to provide a copy of the death certificate to get the funds released. At this point, you should also notify the 3 credit reporting agencies, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, of your loved one's passing. Again, you'll need the death certificate. They will close those accounts. Get copies of the reports and check to make sure everything is in order and that there are no fraudulent accounts or transactions. Step 4 is to contact the deceased's life insurance company or companies. You'll need the death certificate here, too. Also, cancel other types of insurance, such as auto or disability, that are no longer needed. Step 5 is to notify any affected government agencies. Interestingly, the funeral director often notifies Social Security of a deceased's death. Check to confirm that and also notify Medicare and the VA if necessary. Finally, step 6 is getting started on the deceased's final taxes. Here is where you really should bring in a professional such as a CPA to help with this. I know that's a lot, but you can get through it one step at a time. And remember to pray for guidance and know that you are never alone. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. When Jesus called his first disciples, it was a simple invitation. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." Matthew 4 tells us, at once they left their nets and followed him. Have you ever wondered what compelled them to drop everything like that? Coming from Jesus, there is something extraordinary in this ordinary invitation. And today Jesus calls us with those same words. It might mean leaving behind comfort, ease, earthly pleasure, but his promise is sure. He will also equip us to become fishers of people. So, what's your answer to Jesus? Are you ready to leave your nets, whatever they might be, and are you ready to follow him? Try out Anchor Devotional today. Just visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. In just a moment, we'll begin taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got calls coming in, but still a few lines remain. Sandy Dickinson, ready to take your call today. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that number, 800-525-7000. In the news today, of course, you are well aware wildfires have torn through the more than 35,000 acres of Southern California's coastal communities and canyons, causing the evacuation of at least 180,000 people, the loss of over 12,000 homes and businesses, and the death of at least 24 people. Damages are estimated to be near $150 billion, and it will, of course, take years for many residents to recover. Here's how you can help. The National Christian Foundation's California team has created a fund to distribute money to churches, ministries, and charities, providing immediate on-the-ground relief as well as recovery efforts for years to come. If you feel compelled to share the compassion of Christ with those who are suffering through this catastrophe, here's how you can help. If you already have a giving fund at the National Christian Foundation, just log in and you can do a fund-to-fund transfer to the LA Fire Relief Fund. If you don't have a fund at NCF, you can give via credit card or bank account transfer. Just go to ncfgiving.com. That's the National Christian Foundation, ncfgiving.com. And the link is right there at the top of the page, the LA Fire Relief Fund. Money donated to the fund will begin to be distributed as quickly as possible to verified churches and ministries and charities, again, providing on-the-ground relief to those in need in the name of Jesus. By the way, the National Christian Foundation, one of the largest Christian charities in the world, was founded by Larry Burkett, the late Larry Burkett, as well as Ron Blue and Terry Parker. And an incredible organization. We've been partnered with NCF for a long time. And I know we're hearing from a lot of you wanting to know how you can help. And hopefully this will give you some confidence to be involved in perhaps blessing somebody who's in the midst of this devastation. Again, the website, ncfgiving.com. All right, let's head to the phones today. We're going to begin in Tennessee. Hi, Linda. How can I help you?
I was calling for a list of the faith-based investments that you can invest in. I'm trying to do some different investing with my 401.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Let me give you a website where you would be able to download a PDF. It's no cost to it, and it will give you a list of the 11 mutual fund families that we follow, and they're all in the faith-based investing space. Are you ready for that website, Linda?
Yes.
Okay, it's faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. Let me say that again, faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. And you'll just put in your email address, you'll download that PDF, and that will give you the complete list of those fund families. Now, if you're looking to invest in your 401k, hopefully you will find at least one of those fund families there. You may not. And although this space of values-aligned or faith-aligned investments is growing rapidly, both in terms of the number of investment companies as well as the dollars that are flowing into these investments, we're seeing that the 401ks are kind of the slowest to adopt these fund families. And so if you don't see any of the fund families in your 401k, I think you have two options there. Option one would be to look for something called a brokerage window, which is where the 401k allows you to invest beyond the menu of investment options available inside the plan. The second option is to call the plan administrator and say, listen, I would like my values reflected in my investments, and I don't see any of the faith-based or values-based investment options, and you can give them the names. And as they get more and more calls from believers who want these options available, you know, they're regularly reviewing the list of investments, and you may find that it's added in the not too far off future. Does that make sense, though?
Yeah. Can you give me that website? Let me see if I got have it correct. You said faith is FAITHN investment.
Yeah. Let me have our team give that to you offline just so they can walk through the exact spelling of it. I'll just say it one more time, though. It's faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. But I want to make sure you get that exactly right. So you stay on the line, and Sandy will pick that up and make sure you have it exactly what you need. But I think that'll give you the right direction here, Linda. And if we can help you with anything else in the future, don't hesitate to call back. God bless you. Let's go to Michigan. Hi, Sandy. How can I help?
Hi. Thank you, Rob. I have a problem with over. I have an old work comp claim that I haven't used in years. And for some reason, the last visit to my primary care doctor got billed as a disability visit, which it wasn't. So the work comp company came up as first payer. So Medicare denied payment. So now I'm on the hook for those payments. So I have, it's kind of a two-part question. One is, what the heck happened there? How can I prevent that in the future? And the second part is, if I did have to submit a claim to the work comp company to pay like for a surgery or something, and they only pay like 10% or 15%, then I'm on the hook for the balance of the cost, correct?
Yeah, well, it sounds like it was just done in error because I would imagine they should not have been in first position. So I think you need to take steps to have a redetermination by Medicare. And they have what are called Medicare contractors where through the redetermination, there's a review of the claim by a Medicare administrative contractor or personnel not involved in the initial claim determination. And you can fill out some paperwork for that and be able to explain in writing the problem that you're having. You have to do that within 60 days of the denial. And it's possible, they can reverse this and get you moving in the right direction. If that doesn't go your way, though, there's four other levels of appeal, and you can start that process at cms.gov, cms.gov. That's the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and it's in a government website, but you could learn about how you go through that process of appeal. And I would probably talk to them about what went awry here, just so you know that for the future. But I think the key right now is for you to initiate that process of having Medicare do that review and see if you can get this overturned.
Oh, brother, it's past the 60 days.
Is it?
60 days
okay.
From the date of the visit. Oh, gee, yeah.
Yeah, well, from the date of the denial, did they... And so if you're outside of that window, then perhaps you could just take one of the other steps. But all of that is explained at cms.gov. And I know this is frustrating and you want to get on top of it and get it paid. And I realize that's challenging. Good news is it's not going to affect, your credit report, just because, especially in light of recent legislation, they're removing, medical related obligations from credit reports, which is a good thing. But I think your next step is just to get this situated so that the bill gets covered and you don't have to think about it anymore. Sandy, keep us posted on that. Thanks for calling. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. Thegodwhospeaks.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. If you have a financial question, something going on in your financial life related to perhaps getting out of debt, or maybe this is the year where you want to increase your giving, you're wanting to do that in a way that's wise and creative, we'd love to help with that. Maybe you're trying to navigate the stock market. And by the way, Bob Dahl will be by at the end of the broadcast to give us an update on the markets. What's he watching this week? And what is at the forefront of investors' minds? The market's up across the board today, but where are we headed? Well, we'd love to talk about your portfolio and investing plan. Perhaps you're dealing with some issues related to wealth transfer, and how much do you leave to the kids? Any of those financial questions and more are in play today. You can call right now with lines open. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's go back to the phones to Tennessee. Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. West. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
My question is, yes, right before your program started, there was mentioned the steps to take when you lose a loved one, including getting the death certificate.
Yes.
Is that available in written form anywhere?
It is. Yes, ma'am. So if you head to our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com, and click content right there at the top of the page, the first article today is going to be titled just that, Six Financial Steps After a Loved One Passes, and it will have all of those steps and more details and links right there on the webpage.
Wonderful. That answers my question. Thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for your call today. Let us know if we can help at any time, and God bless you. Again, that website, faithfi.com, six financial steps after a loved one passes. It's our featured article today, and we'd love for you to take advantage of that. We'll get right back to the phones here in just a moment. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. By the way, let me go ahead and mention that this week, all week long, you're going to hear all of the program hosts talking about our partnership with Preborn. It's our 2025 partnership. Preborn is, of course, the direct competition to the abortion industry and the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the U.S. And since 2007, they've partnered with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across the country, providing these life-saving ultrasounds. And we're inviting you to sponsor a mom who chooses life with maternity and baby clothes and diapers and car seats and counseling and much more. All of this is provided free of charge, up to 2 years of assistance. Listen to this. Over the past 18 years, Preborn partner clinics have counseled over 500,000 women considering abortion, and more than, this is key, 300,000 babies' lives have been saved, and more than 80,000 women have surrendered their lives to Christ. Incredible. So Preborn is not only rescuing the babies, but the moms too, through the life-changing truth of the gospel. And when you lead a mother to Christ, you're leading generations to Christ for years to come. So here's what we're asking you to do in our partnership with Preborn this week. We're asking you to consider making a gift. Every $28 that you give will provide one woman a free ultrasound, and this is specifically a woman who's coming in seeking an abortion, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. So you do the math, $140 provides five ultrasounds and five women with the message of life, and perhaps that's what you could do today. Would you consider sponsoring at least one woman, perhaps five, or maybe you have the ability to do a bit more? You can make one of our leadership gifts and provide a day of life. So a gift of $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for the entire preborn network of clinics for one day, helping to rescue, just based on what we know from the past, 200 babies. And our goal here at AFR is to help save 4,500 babies through our partnership this week. So if you'd consider a gift of any size, we would certainly be grateful. How do you do that? Well, quick and easy at AFR.net. You'll see preborn right there at the top of the page, and you can make your gift. That's AFR.net. Or you can just call right now, 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396, and that would allow you to speak to somebody and go ahead and make your gift right now. Thanks in advance. All right, let's head back to the phones. We've got some lines open. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. To Montana. Hi, Greg. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I've got a elderly cousin that is having his revocable trust rewritten, and I'm being put on there as a beneficiary, and I'm 1500 miles away from him, and I can't be there to be involved in the process. Do I need to have a power of attorney? What are some things that he should look for to have them do? I mean, there was an individual on the trust, but he's out of country relative, and he's been advised that that could be a hassle. And since I'm in Montana and he's in Arizona, and we're both the same distance from this, from our cousin, he's decided to make me the beneficiary. So
okay,
what are some of the things I should
look for? And so are you... are you meaning trustee, Greg, as opposed to beneficiary?
Well, so yeah, I guess that's what I would be as a trustee. Whatever he has for assets, they would be coming to me.
Oh, okay. So you are the beneficiary as well. So there's two things here. So, while you're a trustee, you are the one managing the trust. So you have a fiduciary duty, whoever the trustee is, to manage the trust assets in the best interest of the beneficiaries. So that means, following the terms of the trust whenever that goes into play. So if the grantor, your cousin, is, incapacitated, certainly at death or even beyond death, you'd have to keep records, communicate with the beneficiaries, file the taxes. You're the one kind of responsible for all the compliance, administration, and oversight. The beneficiary would be the one who's receiving the assets. I've got to take a break. Let's pick this up on the other side. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
There have been people in our nation who have been pining for wickedness. As we read through Romans 1, you see over and over, God gave them over. God gave them over. But what is happening is evidence of abandonment. We need to understand that that is included within the wheelhouse, if you will, of God judging a people.
Join Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on AFR.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Are you overwhelmed by financial fear and anxiety? You're not alone. At FaithFight, we hear it every day. People weighed down by worries related to wealth and money. But financial anxiety isn't about the size of your bank account. It's about the condition of your heart. That's why we've created Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional that'll help you find peace through Jesus's teachings. Replace your financial anxiety with peace today. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and start your journey today.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Coming up in the next segment, Bob Dahl stops by. Bob's a Wall Street veteran, frequent contributor on Fox Business and CNBC, manages billions of dollars in faith-based investments, and he joins us each week with his market commentary. We'll be interested to hear what Bob's watching this week in the markets. And that's straight ahead. In the meantime, before the break, we were talking to Greg in Montana. His 81-year-old cousin is redrawing up his revocable trust. And Greg is the beneficiary. Just wondering, since he's out of state, what does he need to know? Typically, Greg, and correct me if I'm wrong here, if I'm not understanding exactly what's happening here, but the beneficiary of a revocable trust can also act as trustee, and this is actually quite common. So typically what would happen is the grantor, the creator of the trust, who would be your cousin, would name themselves as the initial trustee, and then a trusted family member, often a beneficiary, as the successor trustee. And so as long as the trust is revocable, the grantor, your cousin, is alive and competent, the grantor retains full control over the trust. And then the trustee or the successor trustee would step in, after the grantor passes away. And then at that point, the trust becomes irrevocable. And then the trustee would be responsible for handling the taxes and the management and ultimately the distribution of the assets to the beneficiary, which may include you and or others. And so you just need to understand your responsibilities at any point if you have to step in and act as trustee to avoid conflicts of interest, to handle the legal requirements, and then deal with the tax implications. Does that all make sense, though?
Yeah, it does. And my question to that would be, would he receive counsel from the attorneys that he's working with to move in that direction? And would they be able to secure the information from him that I need? Because they're in the same town and everything, and can communicate with him much easier than I can. So would they work to help him set those things in place?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is just really key, pieces of putting a revocable trust in place. And as successor trustee, it's really important that you have proper documentation if that's your role. to ensure that you can manage the trust effectively and legally. So you would want, again, assuming you're not just the beneficiary, but you're also successor trustee, you'd want the original trust agreement so you can see the trust purpose and the terms and the beneficiaries and the instructions for distributions or asset management, you know, if he's incapacitated or passes away. And then, of course, you need any amendments or restatements. You'd want certification or affidavit of trust. You'd want a, you know, a death certificate when, you know, appropriate. Obviously, that is not, you know, applicable now. And then a list of the trust assets and tax documents, that type of thing. So, you know, I think, you know, you need to let him finish kind of what he's doing to restate this trust. And then, yes, his estate attorney who's drafting it should provide him all the necessary documents and instructions that then he could pass along to you. I think the key is to clarify, are you just beneficiary or are you also a successor trustee, which have two different, you know, pieces? A beneficiary is going to receive the assets over time. The trustee is responsible for managing the trust once the grantor passes away.
So, yeah, and my issue with him is his sometimes he's a little forgetful. Would I be out of line in contacting the attorneys and just introducing myself to them and letting them know who I am?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably let him know that ahead of time and just say, hey, I want to do a good job in helping to serve in the role you've asked me to serve in. You know, do you mind if I reach out to the attorney to ask for the necessary information just so I'm up to speed and just keep him in the loop? But I think that would be very appropriate.
Okay. Well, great. Yeah. That answers a lot of questions. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Greg. We appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go out to Missouri. Hi, Guy. How can we help?
Good morning. My question also involves kind of insurance, and you may have addressed this issue, and I just haven't heard it about the situation in California. I'd heard that State Farm, for one, is pulling out of California or some parts of it. And I'm assuming probably there's some other insurers that are doing the same. So I guess wondering how this is going to affect the rest of the country if they pull out and these people have their houses totally lost, who pays for that and what happens to the mortgages on the people who default on that can't pay because they don't have insurance? Is that going to affect the rest of the country as far as insurance and construction costs and all the related items? It just seems like a very, very bad scenario. Just want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, I would just say for those affected by the wildfires, they're going to be often eligible for mortgage relief. So major banks like JP Morgan, Chase, and Bank of America have already made it known that they're offering forbearance options. So this allows borrowers to either reduce or suspend their mortgage payments for up to 12 months. And if Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are, you know, helping with relief options to prevent defaults. And so these are temporary measures that aim to mitigate the impact on both the homeowners and the mortgage market, reducing the number of mortgages that might otherwise default due to the wildfires. I would say in terms of, you know, what's going to happen with insurance, you know, we are seeing major insurers either reducing or ceasing to offer homeowners in California because of the increased wildfire risks and rising construction costs. You know, we're seeing this in Florida as well, just because of, you know, the storms and so forth. And so this, you know, is a problem, you know, and so for homeowners that are unable to secure traditional insurance, you know, California does have a last resort option. It's a state mandated program with basic fire insurance coverage for those in high risk areas, but it's limited. You know, it's really limited coverage, and it will often be more expensive than standard policies as well. And so we're going to have to watch and see kind of where this is all headed. You know, the national implications on this would be, you know, obviously increased premiums nationwide because of the reinsurance costs. So insurers normally rely on reinsurance to kind of limit their risk from a catastrophic event. and, you know, natural disasters cause the reinsurance costs to go up. And this is passed on to consumers across the country. And so there will be an impact of that. You know, you're going to, again, you know, have insurer withdrawals. That's not confined to California, but it does limit consumer options, and it creates a real challenge because you have less comprehensive coverage, you have higher costs, and then you've got regulatory challenges, and then you've got an kind of a spillover into the economic impact on the housing market. So, you know, it's a real challenge. You know, and I think the result of all this is often more reliance on state-run programs, which is not necessarily a good thing to get it out of the private market. So we're going to have to keep an eye on this and just see what the ultimate implications are. But it's a great question. By the way, again, if you want to help financially, go to ncfgiving.com. We'll be right back.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We have not been made the greatest nation in the history of mankind. By denigrating God, we have become the greatest nation on earth because we are a nation that acknowledged Almighty God to be the source of our values, our rights, our liberties, and that therefore we are accountable to Him.
The Awakening on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We're going to dig a little deeper into the verse we started with, Matthew 6:24 and a few others. We cannot serve God and money. That generosity is a key piece of this as well. I think about what Ron Blue, the author, says often, and that is that giving actually loosens the grip that money can have over our lives.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. Here in our final segment today, we're joined by our good friend Bob Dahl. Bob is Chief Investment Officer and CEO at Crossmark Global Investments, and he joins us each week with his market commentary. Bob, good start to the week so far. A little bit of a sell-off yesterday in the tech sector, but what do you make of this market and the latest economic data?
Well, as we've talked surrounding our predictions, we expect this to be a more volatile year. And volatile doesn't mean just down. It means up and down. And I think we'll see a lot of that even within the same day, as there's so many cross currents. The economic data, we got a very strong employment report last week to start the year off, as you know. And this morning we got a PPI, Producer's Price Index, to be followed by CPI tomorrow. The PPI was better than expected, meaning less inflation. So that's caught the fancy of some bulls to say, oh, yeah, everything is just fine. So I think we're going to have a lot of rotation and therefore a lot of confusion for investors, Rob. So keep the long-term in view.
Yeah, very good, Bob. Obviously, the big story the last couple of years has been the Fed. It seems like the Fed is always the big story. But, you know, what do you make of this year? And could this continued cooling of inflation ultimately result in them not taking their foot off the gas pedal? And perhaps we don't see as many or any, for that matter, rate cuts this year. Is that possible?
It's very possible, Rob. Obviously, the good inflation number today will give some fodder to those who think, no, the Fed is going to cut because inflation's coming down. But to repeat last week with this strong employment report, a lot of people said, they're done. They're not going to cut this year. So I think even those expectations will go back and forth. Coming into the year, the consensus expected 2.5 cuts, so either 2 or 3. And now that consensus is moved down to, you know, kind of 1.5. So even that number is going to bounce around. I hate to be so wishy-washy, but I think it's going to be that kind of year, Rob.
Yeah. Bob, how sustainable is this to avoid a recession with rates up where they are right now? I mean, you know, maybe historically these are pretty normal, but they're certainly well above what we've gotten used to the last 2 or 3 or 4 decades. You know, I mean, you can only put off buying a new home so long. I mean, eventually, you know, this does have a ripple effect through the economy. Is it ultimately going to result in recession, or can we sustain this?
We can bounce along without a recession with these kind of interest rates. You're right to point out we got used to rates well below long-term history for a whole host of reasons, largely the Fed trying to make economic activity happen. So if rates stay where they are, that doesn't guarantee a recession. Think about it. If inflation is, let's say, high twos, maybe 3%, to have a 10-year treasury at 4.75 where we are currently is not out of the picture. So we can live with these rates. It's not zero anymore. And that's a big change for a lot of people who got so used to low interest rates for all the things that they did.
Yeah. Bob, we've had a couple of callers asking about the California wildfires. Obviously, just incredible devastation there. And we've talked about opportunities to give and be the hands and feet of Jesus through some of the work NCF is doing. But what about the economic fallout of this? I mean, as we see insurers pulling out of Florida and Louisiana and now, you know, potentially California, what does this mean for the U.S. economy, and where are we going to feel that nationally?
Needless to say, Southern California is a big part of the California and the U.S. economy. So we might feel it a bit even across the country as that unravels. I think the big questions are around the insurance industry, as you point out from some of your callers. Insurance companies have tough decisions to make. Do they stay in places that have higher risk? How do they meet the financial obligations that come from disasters like this? And that will, again, create more dislocation and uncertainty. So let's hope God smiles on us. And, you know, we have not too many more of these kinds of things to deal with in this environment.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Bob, what about internationally? I mean, you know, we have seen the U.S. economy more resilient than we expected over the last 12, 18 months. Are you seeing the same thing across the world?
No, it's much more mixed. I use the word sclerosis for most of Europe. They're really struggling, and their economies are, barely growing, 1% kind of thing. Japan's done a little bit better, as you know. China is struggling for the reasons we've talked about before, which include debt and credit problems and aging consumers and population decline. China's one to watch very carefully because it's an important part of the world economy. And then you have the emerging markets in South America, where you've got some good and some not so good. It's a mixed picture. And to come back to your premise, the U.S. has stood out as a stronger economy versus the rest of the world now for quite some time.
Yeah, very good. Bob, finally, just overall GDP growth. I know we got some data. What are you seeing as we reflect on the final quarter of the year? And then what about moving forward?
Yeah, it looks like fourth quarter GDP, as it's released, is going to be high twos, if not 3%, which is what the prior two quarters were. Stronger than long-term trend growth in the U.S., which is running around 2%, maybe 2 and a little bit. Our guess is we're going to have a slowdown this year, and it'll be more like a 2-handle than a 3-handle, which is closer to the long-term average. So slowing in our economy, but nothing ominous.
All right, Bob, we appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
Have a great week.
You too. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer and CEO at Crossmark Global Investments. Learn more about faith-based investing and sign up for his weekly investment commentary, crossmarkglobal.com. All right, let's head back to the phones here before we round out the broadcast. North Carolina is where we're headed next. David, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so I am 56 years old. And I'm a state employee and about to take early retirement. I'll end up with my health care covered and a modest pension of about $1,400. But I'm immediately going back to work in the private sector, making more than I am now, actually. So my question is, do I take that pension money and invest it in another qualified retirement account for when I do retire? I plan to work at least 10 more years. Or do I use that money to pay down debt, which the only debt I have is a 6% mortgage and a 7% home equity line of credit?
Okay. How much do you have on the HELOC and how much on the first mortgage?
First mortgage is about 148 and the HELOC is about 11 grand.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, and based on you going back to work in the private sector, are you going to have enough to cover your bills and a little bit left over?
Absolutely. Again, I'll be making actually more than I am now.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I would leave that retirement plan alone and roll that out into an IRA, keep it in a tax-deferred environment so you're not paying any tax on it, let it continue to grow on a tax-deferred basis. And then just focus on redirecting, you know, whatever surplus you have by going back to work after your bills are paid toward initially paying off that HELOC and then going after the first mortgage. But I would not pull that money out of the retirement plan to do that. I'd let that keep growing. You know, you're not going to have any impact of taxes that's going to slow that growth. And then if you could position yourself just by really keeping your lifestyle, you know, a cap on it and redirecting all of your surplus to getting out of debt, you know, by the time you transition fully into what God has for you next, even if it doesn't involve paid work in the next season, hopefully that's eliminated, you know, your biggest expenses. And now you've got, you know, Social Security and, you know, if at any point you want to start pulling, you know, a monthly income from your retirement plan, you could, but your expenses are probably a good bit lower because you're debt-free at that point. I think that's the better plan, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds great. I certainly appreciate the advice.
Absolutely. One other thing is once you're 70 and a half, you would be able, and I realize that's a good bit down the road, but you know, if you got to the place where your bills were covered without the IRA, you could, you know, pull that money out as a qualified charitable distribution, do the giving that you were already doing out of after-tax dollars from your IRA and never pay tax on it because it went in tax-free, deferred, and then it comes out tax-free. What an amazing opportunity for you to, you know, to have never paid tax on that money and get it into circulation in the kingdom. So hopefully that helps you, David. We appreciate your call today. Lord bless you, sir. Well, folks, just a real joy to have you with us today. You know, as we think about managing God's money, I think one of the big ideas, the opportunities we have as the King of Kings money managers is to be generous, to hold God's money loosely. And we've teed up two opportunities for you today to do just that. The first was related to our pre-born campaign, and we'd love to have you come alongside us as we're seeking to help save 4,500 babies this week by providing ultrasounds free to moms considering abortions. Every $28 helps one woman seeking an abortion. If you want to be a part of that, just head to AFR.net. Look right there at the top of the page. The second opportunity we teed up for you is to be a part of helping those that have been impacted by the devastation in Southern California. 3,500 acres of California's coastal communities and canyons have been affected. We've got 24 folks that have lost their lives, the loss of over 12,000 homes and businesses. NCF, the National Christian Foundation, has helped set up a fund to go directly to churches and ministries and charities providing on-the-ground relief. If you want to learn more about that, go to NCF.org.
Giving.com, National Christian Foundation, started by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue. Big thanks to my team today, Devin Patrick, Sandy Dickinson, and Taylor Standridge, plus everybody here at FaithFi. Couldn't do this without them. Have a great day, and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.